Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're focusing on just one source, the June 2025 Hereford Happenings newsletter. Our mission is simple: pull out the most important bits, the surprising details, and really get you up to speed on UK Herefords right now, straight from the Society's own update.
Yeah, think of it as your direct line. We're unpacking what's new, what's coming up, the challenges, basically everything important that's in this newsletter.
Okay, let's jump right in then. The newsletter starts with some significant news at the top, doesn't it? New leadership.
That's right. A new general manager for the Hereford Cattle Society, Seth Waring. And what's interesting is his background, which the newsletter lays out. It's quite diverse.
It really is. Started in dairy farming. Oh, where was it? New Zealand.
Yep, New Zealand.
Yep.
Then moved into cattle nutrition, which makes sense.
And then beef supply chains, focusing on the dairy side of that too. And genetics leadership. Stabilizer yeah. Cattle Company.
Exactly. Driving innovation there. And most recently, he was with AHDB's Beef and Lamb Engagement Team.
So it's a real blend, isn't it? Hands-on farming, technical stuff like nutrition and genetics, and that broader industry view.
Mm-hmm. And his main goal, as stated in the newsletter, making Hereford cattle the number one choice for the next generation. Quite ambitious.
And it's not just the traditional suckler herd focus, is it?
No. They specifically mentioned suckler cows and crossbreeding and dairy cows.
Right. So pushing Hereford genetics into more commercial settings seems key.
It feels like a strategic push to broaden the breed's appeal, find new markets, you know, grow that footprint in the national herd.
And he's going to detail this vision.
Yeah, in a business plan. He'll be sharing it at local events this autumn, apparently. So members will get a chance to hear it directly.
Okay, good engagement plan. Right, moving on from new leadership.
Yeah.
The international scene gets quite a bit of attention. World Hereford conferences.
Absolutely. First up, the 2025 conference. It's happening soon, this October, in Kansas City, Missouri.
Described as a big global meetup. Breeders, industry folks, everyone involved with Herefords.
And tours are a big part of it. The newsletter says the pre-tours are actually full already.
Oh, okay. But post-tours are still open.
Yeah, looks like it. There's a southbound to Cowtown, one going to Texas, Fort Worth Stockyards, GKB Cattle EE Ranches, some iconic names there.
Or you can head north, Nebraska, Wyoming, Colorado.
That's the Sandhills Sights and Mountain Views Tour. Visits include Hoffman Ranch, Van Newkirk Herefords. Gives you a real sense of U.S. Hereford breeding in different environments.
Now, connected to this 2025 conference, there's something really important for the younger generation.
The Young Breeders Competition.
Yes.
Running October 19th to 26th, part at Kansas State University, part in Kansas City.
Crucial for skills, networking, building those global connections early on.
And Team UK Hereford Youth are going.
That's fantastic. Who's on the team? The newsletter lists them, doesn't it?
It does. Iona Smith, Kara Dogg, Etha Brooke, Will Awan, and Emma Dexter. Five members.
What an opportunity for them. Not just competing, but gathering ideas too, surely.
Especially since, and this is big news, the next World Hereford Conference, 2028, is coming here to the UK.
Now that is exciting. Whereabouts?
It's going to be hosted at the Royal Three Counties Show. The main conference dates are June 12th to 17th, 2028.
Wow. And planning is already happening.
Says it's well underway. Oh. Venue, hotels, those pre and post tours. A lot to organize, but a massive opportunity for the UK society.
Definitely puts a spotlight on UK Herefords. Okay, let's shift focus, though, from global excitement to a more immediate challenge back home. The dung.
Yeah, the BTV update. This is probably the most pressing practical information in the newsletter for breeders right now.
The general manager's update warns about the higher risk period as temperatures rise.
Which unfortunately means changes to movement rules are coming.
Right. From July 1st, 2025, all of England becomes a restricted zone.
That's the plan outlined here. The idea is it simplifies movements within England.
But cross-border stuff, getting animals out of England.
That becomes more difficult, more hoops to jump through.
And there's talk of an interim measure before that. Around June 12th.
Yes, expected to involve pre-movement testing for animals, unless they're heading straight to slaughter. Adds complexity, but it's about managing that risk.
So where does vaccination fit into this picture?
It's presented as a key tool, especially for movements into Scotland.
Okay, how so?
Scotland will apparently allow vaccinated animals in from the restricted zone without testing, using a self-declared license.
But there's a catch, isn't there? A very specific one.
A crucial one. The vaccine used must be proven to give the right protective antibody response that the Scottish government accepts.
And the newsletter names names here.
It does. Lists three. Boltavo 3, Bioliwe VC 3, and Skivazol BTV.
But only one currently meets that Scottish requirement.
Explicitly states that only Botavo 3 has shown the protective response they'll accept for that non-tested movement. That's vital information.
So, if Scotland is your destination, the strong recommendation seems to be Botavo 3.
Based on this, yes. It gives the broadest options according to the newsletter.
And there's a timeline for vaccination to consider, too.
Right. Two treatments, 3 weeks apart. And then animals can't move for 6 weeks from the first shot. Needs careful planning.
Definitely need to factor that lead time in. And show rules.
They'll vary. Check directly with the organizers, is the advice. Blue tongue is clearly a major factor this season.
It really is. Okay, let's move from those challenges to some recent high points. The newsletter covers shows and sales.
Yes, starting with the spring show and sale report. Sounds like there was good buzz beforehand, you know, with a strong beef trade.
And despite some withdrawals, likely blue tongue related, the quality that was there sold well.
With strong demand, yes. Mark 7 was the judge.
Let's look at some results. Female champion.
That was Castle Mount 1 Tessa 443 from P. Massey, sold for 3,600 guineas.
And reserve female.
Galviscourt 1 Duchess W728. This was from Joe Clark, noted as his first time out as a breeder. She made 4,000 guineas. Great start for him.
Very impressive debut. But the top female price
went higher still. 5,000 guineas for Pepperstock 1 Jade B1010 from Spears Farms LTD. She's sired by Spartan 1 Typhoon.
Ah, a name we'll hear again. What about the males?
The junior and overall grand male champion was Normanton 1 Boa Boa from TD and WT Leavesy. He sold for 4,400 guineas.
And reserve overall grand male.
That was Spartan 1 Apache from SC and GL Hartwright, also senior male champion. He went for 6,200 guineas.
Good price. But yeah. The top male price of the day and the top overall
went to Pepperstock 1 Black Saff, also from Spears Farms LTD, and also sired by Spartan 1 Typhoon. He made 9,000 guineas.
Wow, 9,000 guineas. That's a real statement price. Clearly demand for that breeding line.
Definitely. And the averages reflect that strength. Females averaged 3,733 curls. Bulls averaged 5,195.
And the overall clearance?
Very healthy. 92.68% clearance with an overall average across everything of 4,849 hours. Strong sale.
The newsletter also gives a quick look at other shows, doesn't it?
Yeah, a sales and shows roundup section. Dungannon had 100% clearance record prices, including a Northern Ireland record of 6,800 guineas for Saltpole 1 Braveheart.
Fantastic result there. Balmoral.
William Smith judged. Breed champion was Tyndale 1660, Perfection 691 from Dorpole Herefords. Female champion Ballypality 1 Waikiki. Some junior winners mentioned too. And success for young handlers.
And Shropshire County Show sounds like it was a huge day for one herd in particular.
Absolutely. The Dender herd, Dender 1 Lilac Wine 37th, was female and overall champion. JC1 Austin was male and reserve overall.
And they didn't stop there.
Nope. Those two won the interbreed pairs title together. And then Dender 1 Lilac Wine 37th went on to be named overall interbreed champion of the entire show.
Incredible achievement. Really showcases the quality.
Definitely provides some positive headlines and demonstrates the breed's competitiveness.
So beyond the shows and sales, the newsletter reminds members about the support the society offers.
Yeah, it lists quite a range. Things like DNA testing support, research updates, obviously managing the shows and sales, performance data collection.
The breed journal, the online database. Beef schemes.
Right. Plus dedicated support in fostering those regional clubs and associations. It covers a lot.
There's also a pretty detailed section on DNA and registration rules. Seems important for breeders to get right.
Very much operational details. Emphasizes needing good quality hair samples for the DNA tests. AI certificates, if you're using AI, obviously.
And that registration window.
Yeah. Register calves within 27 days. If it's between 28 and 60 days, there's an extra fee, £17.28, according to this.
And some mandatory DNA tests?
Correct. All herd sires need a DNA profile and a hypertrichosis test. That's the hair growth condition.
And if the sire carries it.
Calves have to be tested, too. Plus, first-time calving females need DNA profiling and parentage verification.
Lots to keep track of. And breeders need to submit these online themselves.
Yes, the responsibility for online batch submission within the timescales is highlighted.
Okay. Switching gears again, member engagement through competition, the national stock judging.
That's coming up soon, June 14th at the Royal Three Counties Show.
The newsletter gives the details. Awards, teams of three from each association, three rings of cattle to judge.
Yearling bulls, yearling heifers, and cows. 8 minutes per section.
And the rules, no chatting while judging, and wear your white coats. A classic test of skill.
A great way to benchmark your eye, definitely.
We touched on the UK Hereford Youth earlier with the World Conference, but the newsletter gives more detail on their activities too.
Yeah, it paints a picture of a really active program. They had training weekends, one up in Northumberland, covered clipping, show prep, showmanship, team building too.
And another trip?
To Scotland, herd visits, but also learning about nutrition, business planning, hill farming, real practical insights.
And their annual workshop.
The ninth one, hosted by the Weston family. Sounds like a packed day. Show prep challenges, clipping demos, stock judging with the society president, Steve Edwards.
Meat ID, bull assessments, herd walk. It's a comprehensive program.
Really focusing on building skills, knowledge, and that team spirit for the future. They also note sponsorship opportunities are available for the youth team.
Good to highlight. Now, stepping outside the UK again, there's an interesting piece about a visit to Latvia.
Yes. Andrew Hughes from the Coley herd went over. He visited Christine and Casper Adama.
And they run something quite unique.
What's described as the only dedicated livestock auction house in the Baltics. Handles something like 80% of Latvian beef trade. Huge volume.
800 to 1,200 head per sale. Impressive scale.
And Andrew saw near 100% clearance when he was there. Shows real demand.
Predominantly Charolais and Limousin tree leaders there, but the Hereford that was present did well.
Yeah, a single Hereford bull made a strong price, 4,000 euro. Held its own.
But what Andrew offered was more practical advice, wasn't it, on presentation?
Exactly. He noticed bulls often arrived straight from the field, unwashed, unfed. He advised on basic grooming and feeding, explaining how it boosts buyer confidence.
Yeah.
Simple stuff, but effective.
And the hosts, Christine and Casper, they're really trying to lift standards.
Yes, the newsletter mentions they cover transport costs themselves to encourage better preparation. Shows real commitment.
Andrew also gave a presentation, didn't he?
To over 100 farmers. On pedigree breeding principles, animal selection. Sharing UK expertise. A great example of international knowledge exchange.
Really interesting insight into a different market. Okay, nearly there. The newsletter finishes with admin bits and regional news.
Quick heads up, council meetings scheduled for September 9th and November 11th, which is also the AGM date.
And a reminder for members, annual subscriptions 85 times are due July 1st. They're encouraging BACS payments.
Oh, and an important admin detail for registrations, the management letter changes to D on July 1st. That letter signifies the birth year.
Good flag for anyone registering calves soon. They also list new members recently elected. Always good to see growth.
And a couple of regional dates. Houghton View Herefords have their 10th anniversary sale on June 28th.
And the Powys Club AGM, BBQ, and cane visit is set for September 14th.
So quite a mix of practical info right to the end.
Definitely. So if we step back and look at everything covered in this June 2025 Hereford happenings, what's the overall picture you get?
I think it paints a picture of a breed society that's really firing on a multiple cylinders. You've got forward-looking strategy with the new GM's vision and hosting the World Conference in 2028.
But also dealing very practically with immediate issues like navigating those complex blue tongue rules. They're providing specific actionable guidance there.
Exactly. And they're celebrating success. Those strong show and sale results show the underlying quality and demand are there. They're supporting members through services, the youth program.
Which looks really strong and comprehensive. Building for the future.
And engaging internationally, not just looking inwards. That Latvia visit is a great example. Alongside the World Conference focus, it feels active, resilient, and quite ambitious.
It really demonstrates how much useful information you can get from just one source, like this newsletter covering strategy, regulation, market news, and community activity.
Absolutely. If you're involved with UK Herefords, this is the kind of update that keeps you properly informed.
Which leads us to a final thought for you, the listener, to chew on. Given everything we've discussed, the need to adapt to immediate hurdles like blue tongue and this simultaneous drive for global connections and finding new market niches like dairy, how might that dual pressure shape the real day-to-day priorities and the longer-term strategies for UK Hereford breeders over the next few years?